Becoming a full-time writer can be overwhelming. Join Jay Thorne and Zach Bohannon as they help you improve your craft and find your audience so you too can become a career author. This is the Career Author Podcast.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Career Author Podcast. I'm Zach Bohannon, and with me every single week is my boy, Jay Thorne. What's up, dude?
What is up, Zach?
Dude, nothing much. Just had a really productive good morning, and just feeling really good.
So it's funny how we come to this as if we're getting reacquainted when
right?
we're talking and slacking constantly.
Absolutely, yeah, and now our Slack is really lively because we've moved our for anyone who is not a patron, we just moved our Patreon Facebook group over to Slack, and it's been awesome because we've gotten way more engagement than we were getting on Facebook.
People are loving Slack,
which proved the theory that you and I had that people just don't care as much about Facebook.
Yeah,
so we put them in this other place, and we've had all this awesome conversation going back and forth. So.
And there were a number of people who said that Facebook groups were the only reason they were even still checking Facebook.
Absolutely.
So I think that's also sort of good to hear and confirms sort of a lot of our beliefs about where the social media platform is headed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So a couple of fun things I want to say real quick before we get started. So I kind of teased you with this today, but so Amazon put a new Kindle out.
Yes.
And I pre-ordered it. So I'm actually really, really excited. So I already pre-ordered mine. So with a case and everything. So I have the Paperwhite right now, like you've got.
Yes.
But and I've had it for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And I used gift cards to buy it and only had to pay like $14. So now this new one's coming out. That's the new Paperwhite is coming out. That is waterproof. Which, you know me, I read in the bath. I take baths. Yes, I do not care to. I will totally admit that.
Soap up your beard all nice.
I do. I do not care. I'm not ashamed to say it. And like they did, they made it's lighter now, and they made like another really big improvement that bothers me about the old Paperwhite. And this might sound just like first world problems to you, is that like the screen wasn't level with the bezel, and that drives me nuts for some reason. So now it's
really?
Just like one flat piece, and like there's no gap between the screen and the bezel. So
that really bothered you, huh?
It really does. It really, it's fine. Like I know it's totally like a first world problem, but it, it really does bother me. So I'm stoked. I should have it right before we leave for Authors on a Train. So
nice. Nice. Fuck
one
the
other
bezels.
Thing, one other thing I want to say, I kind of want to update our audience on something. And,
yep.
and I was actually going to wait until next week for this, but knowing myself and knowing that I'm a pretty disciplined dude and knowing like, just knowing how I gain habits and stuff. I wanted to bring up the fact that I feel like I might've finally cracked meditation.
Yeah.
Which I know is something a lot of people talk to me about. And, yesterday was the first time I did it and actually enjoyed doing it. I want to give a shout out to just a couple of people, who kind of gave me some really good tips and advice. One of our listeners, Dawn Harrell, she and Dawn and I had, we had a chance to, meet in Chicago and everything. And, she sent me a lot of really, really good advice about meditation and mindfulness practice and stuff. And then my friend Mackenzie, who is a local friend of mine, and her and I have had some really good conversations, and she's really into mindfulness practice and gave me some really good advice, and just talking it out with her was awesome. So, I think I've actually cracked it now.
Good. So. Good.
Yeah.
You'll have to report back how much more mindful you are next week.
I will. I might come back next week and be like, I hate meditation.
Yeah, I know.
Like, and then I'm going to be like, man, I should have waited and just not talked about it all. But, you know, maybe this will keep me in line to do it. So, anyways. All right. So I just want to update on that real quick. You got anything cool like that before we go into our move on?
No. I have just a few quick announcements I'll save.
Okay.
Save, though. Yeah.
All right. So, so today on the show, we're going to be talking about podcasting 101 for authors. And I'm pretty excited about this. I know that, you and Rachel did something similar to this, I think, like on, the Writer's Well, when it was Pedal to the Metal.
Yeah.
And it was, that was like one of y'all's most popular episodes, right? Like as far as.
It was, yeah, it was pretty big.
Comments. Yeah.
And I did a, I spoke at Indie Author Day at the Geauga County Library this past weekend. And the question comes up every single time.
Yeah.
I'm an author. What about podcasting? It just comes up every time I talk.
So, yeah, so that's, so we're going to talk about that today. Should be a really, really good discussion. But before we get into that, we just want to remind everybody that the Career Author Podcast is brought to you by all our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/thecareerauthor. For as little as a dollar a month, you can support the show and gain access to our 2 monthly bonus episodes, as well as so much more. And, you know, we have there's a tier a little bit above that where you can get involved in the Slack group that we have, which that Slack group I know is already being beneficial for the people who are in it. A lot of really good engagement and advice and tips going back and forth, and it's been great. So, and of course we'll have our movie episode this month, which is, we're going to be doing The Shining. So watch that. And you'll get access to that if you're a dollar or more. And we'll also have our Amazon product page makeover. And of course, this week we need to give our a shout out to our newest patron, Bobby Adair's co-author. So thank you, Bobby Adair's co-author, for contributing. So all our friends who were with us in Pittsburgh will get that joke. That of course is T.W. Piper Brook, who is a really good author buddy of ours, and I guess has been low-key watching the show, listening to the show for a while. And made a point to tell us like 15 times that he did over the weekend. And he'd be like, I don't comment, but I'm listening. It's like, dude, I'm starting to think you don't listen. So.
And he earmarked his contribution to the JTSF. So I just want to personally thank him for that.
Nice.
The Jay Thorne Sock Fund.
Email you a pair of socks.
My wife was doing laundry and she held up. She's like, these don't look like yours. I'm like, it's a long story. I mean, they were clearly men's socks, so there wasn't sort of any like eyebrows raised, but she's like, these aren't yours. I'm like, yeah, they're not.
I could see that conversation going, sorry, at my rider's retreat last week and I got socks. And she just goes, what's a rider's retreat? Where were you last weekend? Like, she didn't even know what you do.
You were gone?
You were gone, really? Like, okay, you're an author? How many books have you published? Really? Okay, cool.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, I know, I'm just joking. But yeah, so thanks, Tyler. We really appreciate it. And if you're a fan of post-apocalyptic fiction, you should go check out his books because they're awesome. His newest series called Sandstorm. And then he has a bunch of other stuff on his own. And of course, he did actually co-write a series with the very awesome Bobby Adair called The Last Survivors. So little extra shout out there for our buddy Piper Brook this week. So, all right. So you said you have a couple announcements before we move into the ways and hacks.
Yeah. Just really one quick one, which is if you're listening in real time, today and tomorrow, Thursday and Friday is the Indie Novelist Summit 2018. And my buddy Brian is running this and I'm part of it and it's completely free. It's pretty amazing. You should definitely check it out. You just skim here. I'll tell you, you've got the people who are speaking, and there'll be a link in the show notes. There's a whole schedule to all these talks, which are completely free.
And this is digital. This is online.
Yeah, it's all online. This is Joanna Penn, Adam Croft, Dave Chesson, Alita Winterheimer, Derek Murphy, Beth Barani, Toby Neal, James Scott Bell, who else is on here? Jay Thorne, Buck Flogging, Joel Friedlander, Ricardo Fayette, and Brian Meeks, and on and on and on. So Brian is a great dude. He's works a lot of behind the scenes in the indie author space. And this summit is his first go round, and he's really put together just a world class event. So it's online, it's free, it's happening today and tomorrow only. So make sure you check the show notes. There'll be a link there. You can get on over and grab your free ticket.
Awesome. Yeah. I saw that you were doing that the other day. I was like, wow, that's really, really good. And you were like one of the featured pictures up on top of the website. I was like,
yeah,
wow.
I totally forgot about it because I recorded the session with Brian months ago and he had, I think he ended up changing the launch date a couple times. And then I got an email from him. I was like, oh shit. Yeah. I forgot about that. So
you just big timed him on the air.
Did I?
I totally forgot about it.
Oh, you know, that's not what I meant.
I bet Joanna Penn didn't forget about it. You better than Joanna. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. You got me.
hopefully she's laughing right now because we know she listens. So anyways, all right, so let's go ahead and jump into our ways and hacks this week. And I've got a little marketing hack for you. So I want to talk a little bit about something that I feel like doesn't get talked about. Like, it does get talked about a lot, but I remember when I had this question, so like when I was really debating on like, do I be exclusive with Amazon? Like, what do I, you know, or do I go wide? What do I do? And, you know, one of the big questions that comes up for people who sell their books on all platforms who are wide is like, well, how do I sell books on other platforms? Because we know that with Amazon, things are algorithmic based. Like, there's things you can do to get your book selling on there. If you just kind of know what you're doing a little bit and if you can get some of the right kind of traffic, but on the other platforms, it's not necessarily as easy. So I wanted to talk a little bit specifically about Kobo today. Now I will say, like, I haven't had fantastic luck with Kobo. For me, it's kind of a slow drip type thing, and I'm looking at it long term and, you know, trying to build an audience on there. But I was able to come up with a few things that worked for me, and I'm also going to provide a link. Joanna actually has a great blog on her website about it. And Joanna is really good. It's like, she's all about some Kobo. So, and I tried to put some stuff on my list that was a little different from hers, so you can get a little more. But so the first thing, and this is something that overlapped with Joanna, was to use the promotions tab in your dashboard. So I could be wrong about this, but I think that the promotions tab is in your Kobo Ryan Laugh dashboard by default now. It used to be where you had to email, at the time, Mark, Leslie LeFabe, and now it's Chrissy Monroe.
God rest his soul.
God rest. That's why I delayed, because I was trying to think of something funny to say. our friend Liam Beckett is keeping his memory alive. So, his memory while he's on a book tour, I guess, right now. But our friend Chrissy Monroe over there now. But I think it's default now. I could be wrong. If you don't have the promotions tab in your dashboard, all you have to do is email whatever the support email for Kobo is, for Kobo Ryan Life, and they will add it. And basically, it gives you a list of all these different promotions you can run. And I do one every month. Like, I always have a promotion with Kobo. Usually, what I do, the ones that have worked best for me, because I have a 6-book series in Kobo, is, and my first book is Permafree, I do their free page, and where I'm featured on their free page. And you can even apply to get like the editor's pick, where you're like the top, like when you go to the free page, there'll be like one big book under the genre, like horror, sci-fi, and then there's a bunch of smaller ones under it. And like, I've had like the editor's choice for where like you're the first big book they see. And like, it's did really well. Like, I mean, I'd had a bunch of downloads and I saw a really good sell through. They also do a lot of box set sales. Like, I've put my box sets in there. And it's like, it's not a, I don't make a ton of money off of them, but it's better than making nothing on Kobo, which is what, sure, I hear a lot of people doing. And so, I definitely recommend, doing that. Another caveat is that I think, you need to, like, I don't think you can use an, you can't, well, I know you can't be using an aggregator to be able to do that.
Right.
So you actually need to have your books upload to Kobo Writing Life. So you don't want to go through our friends over at Draft Digital. Like, they're great for Apple and stuff, and you can go to Kobo on there, but you're a little bit better being direct because you can get these promos. And Kobo is going to be a lot more willing to like work with you to do stuff if you're actually going through Kobo Writing Life. Because the reps like get credit for those books and stuff. They help you out. So the second thing is to use sites like eReader News Today, Fussy Librarian, and BookBub. Like, this is something that is a really good thing to do, even if you're in KU. Now, there's a caveat to that, because you want to be really careful. I know we're talking about Kobo, but if you are in KU, you want to be really careful about which one of these sites you're using. Do Fiverr stuff, because people are getting nailed for page reads for manipulation now, but that's a whole other thing. But like, use these sites, like, and the thing about these sites, especially, I mean, all of them, eReader News Today, BookBub, like, they value wide books more than they do books that are in Kindle Unlimited, because they have audiences who read on all these different platforms, not just Kindle. So you have a lot better chance of getting, you know, good placement in these ads and stuff if your book is wide. So take advantage of them. Like, you know, put your books on a cycle to where you're promoting them every now and then, and that'll help you get a good audience. With that, I also highly recommend segmenting your mailing list so that you can tag your users on Kobo or in this, you also Apple, Barnes & Noble, and you can send them news about books available on the platform. So you're building a long-term audience. Like, I have a whole separate mailing list because I suck at tagging stuff. I'm not as good at mailing lists as Jay is, but I have a separate mailing list just for like my wide audience and stuff. So whenever we do start moving some of our books wide, which we are planning on doing at some point, I'm gonna have this list to go to that I've built up. It's not a huge list. I mean, the list is like 1,500 people or something. But I'll have that many people to go to and be like, hey, like, here you go. You know, this is new books. So you want to like make sure that when you're uploading your books on there, like you have the correct, like your good calls to action in place in the back of your books and stuff, so that you're not just getting these sales without a chance of like being able to make a repeat customer out of that, like get them on a mailing list.
Yeah. And this is going to vary according to what service provider you use, but I use AWeber. Yeah. And for me, I can put a unique tag and opt-in form at the back of the Kobo version, at the back of the Barnes & Noble version, the back of the Apple version. So when they join my list, they're already tagged from where they came from.
Yeah.
You should be able to do that on just about any of the email.
You can.
Platforms.
I'm lazy, so I haven't done it on MailChimp. You totally can do it though. So yeah. Email Jay Thorne if you need help with that.
I'm the AWeber rep, so email me.
I just flooded your inbox. Email him at twpiperbrook at t. I'm just joking.
At BobbyAdairsCoAuthor.com.
So my last quick tip is, you know, if be sure you have, and I've talked about this before, but be sure you have your whole series available on Kobo. Like, if so, there's this trend, and I've said before, this is the biggest mistake I made as an author. Like, I've seen sometimes authors like have their first book permafree, but then have the rest of their series in KU. So on Amazon, people can get the first book for free and then they could borrow all the books. But the problem there is that a lot of KU readers devalue free books, so they're probably not even going to go into your first book. But then on all the other platforms, all they can get is your first book, and they're, you know, you can't make the assumption that they're going to go to Amazon and download your book, because they're not. Like, if someone has a Kobo Aura, they're not going to go on Amazon and buy your book.
Right.
So make sure your whole series is available so that you're making the most out of it. And that, you know, you can get that buy through and stuff, and that's going to help you make money on the platform. So those are just some quick tips. Like I said, I'm going to put in the show notes. Joanna has a great blog about this that has a couple of, it's like a seven things to do to sell more books on Kobo and reaching more readers. So we will put that in the show notes. So
excellent. Cool. Great marketing hack, Zach.
Thank you, Jay. I can't wait for your way next week, unless I do one. I might do one next week. We'll see. But unless you just sneak in the script and put one there. So
you never know.
I do never know. All right. So, man, I've talked a lot this episode. I don't know if it's the smoothie I'm drinking that's got me good, but
it's the meditation, I think, has got you.
It might be, actually. I'm feeling very mindful and really good. I do, man. I felt great today, and I got a lot of stuff done. So, you know, I didn't play video games all day like you like to make fun of me about. All the silent messages you get me on here, you're like, yeah, you can't just sit around and play video games all day, because that's what you think I do all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, so I'm going to turn this over to you, and I will just chime in because this was kind of your topic that you put together. So,
yeah, I thought it was worth talking about. And I know, as you mentioned, Rachel and I have had similar conversations, but I felt like this was a good moment to talk a little bit, to go a little meta, and on our podcast, talk about podcasting. And I thought I would start by throwing out some statistics. And you may or may not have heard these before. If you want to go deep on it, this is coming from podcastinsights.com. They get a really nice infographic over there. And this data came out in earlier this year, like March or April of 2018. So it's fairly recent. And there were some great stats that came out of this. Here's some ones to think about. 44% of the U.S. population has listened to a podcast. And 49% of podcast listening is done at home, with 22% of listening done in the car. This is interesting. This podcast listeners are loyal, affluent, and educated. 80% listen to all or most of each podcast episode and listens to an average of 7 shows per week. Right now, 56% of podcast listeners are men and 44% are women.
Really?
Yeah. 50% of all homes are podcast fans. That means that's 60 million households regularly listen to podcasts. Let's see here. And, smartphones, no surprise here, are driving this change in podcast demographics. There's been, since 2014, there's been 157% increase in people who say they have listened to or downloaded a podcast in the past 30 days. And there's a line graph on there that shows the smartphone, the computer, the tablet, and other devices are kind of flatlined. But you can see the line for smartphone listeners, podcast listeners, having a big spike. Podcast listeners are much more active on every social media channel. 94% are active on at least one. That's versus 81% of the entire population. And they have some really cool stats here around about who podcast listeners are. 51% of bottled water households are podcast listeners. 53% of beer households are podcast listeners. 69% agreed that podcast ads made them aware of new products or services. So it's just it's a really interesting sort of
dive
on some
data. Especially the gender demographics, because I don't know that many. I know way more women that listen to podcasts than men.
Yeah, yeah. Although, 44 to 56 is fairly balanced compared to some other mediums. So
what I want to know is what percentage of those women listen to true crime podcasts, because I bet it's 97%.
You think?
Most of the women I know who listen to podcasts are all about, all they listen to is true crime stuff.
Ah, well, Making a Murderer 2 comes out on October 19th. So.
I can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome. That's really interesting.
It really, I think it's good sort of backdrop to give you to pose the ultimate question for you, which is why. So a lot of times authors will come up to me at speaking events, or they'll ask us in retreats and things I'm thinking about a podcast, and our first question is, well, why do you want to do it? And maybe I'll put you on the spot a little bit and ask you, Zach, why do you podcast?
This podcast specifically is I love talking about this stuff, and you and I are probably going to have a lot of these conversations anyway. This just makes it a little more formal. We also so there's that. That's for me, that's the number one why. The other thing is that we knew that we wanted to it's hard for me not to say we and not just talk about me. So we knew that we wanted to do some things with authors. We wanted to do our events we do. We wanted to do speaking, you have this very rich and awesome background as a teacher. So this is kind of a avenue for us to meet people who would be interested in coming and coming to our events and stuff like that. So, I'm not doing this to sell fiction books, which I think a lot of authors think they're going to do. And quite the opposite, we don't even talk about our fiction on here specifically usually, because we don't want people going and buying our books from here unless they are post-apoc fans, because I don't want all Chris Fox's books showing up in our also bots for Final Awakening.
Right.
For me, it's just, I love talking about this stuff. Talking about it with you weekly and being very intentional about what we're talking about has made me smarter. It's made my business better. It's made our business better. And it's allowed us an avenue to, do some things with these retreats and conferences and stuff we want to do. So.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I think if you are an author and you're thinking about a tangential or related business to authoring, so in my case, in addition to our retreats and stuff, my whole Story Grid editing business, that's a related business to writing fiction. And I looked before, as I was preparing for this episode, I looked over my list of clients that I've gotten, that I've served over the past year plus after being certified by StoryGrid, and like 95% of them, came to me through the podcast, one of the podcasts. That's how they got to know me, and they eventually reached out and asked for my services after being a listener. So I think if you're an author, even if you're writing just fiction, but you're thinking about, well, I'd also like to do book covers, or I'd like to be able to write product descriptions on the side, then that would be a good reason to have a podcast. Or if you have a partnership and you're going to be having these conversations anyways, then yeah, you could certainly serve the community by having them publicly as opposed to behind closed doors.
Nice. I tell you, as this is off on a tangent, something I was thinking about, but like I had a thing a couple weeks ago where I felt like really OG with podcasts, because someone was like, why do they call them podcasts? And I was like, because motherfucker, like back like I remember having to like download them onto my iPod,
right?
Yeah. That's why it's called a podcast.
Yep.
You know, because yep. I was in a podcast, you know, back before it was cool, super Nashville hipster here. So, you know, but sorry for that little side tangent.
No, it's cool. Yeah, so. So like, I think you have to figure out the why first, and it's not to say you can't do it with fiction. You know, our buddies at Hawk and Cleaver over doing other stories are doing great stuff with fiction podcasts. I think it requires, though, you need to have more unique angle. Like, I think if you
tried it in a way, like, yeah. Horror Writers podcast, like our version of the Horror Writers podcast was really geared towards readers, trying to get readers. And it,
right.
Like we got some, but like for the most part, like it didn't really do what we wanted to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no easy answer for that. Like, I think you have to have your own unique spin and take. And even when you do, it doesn't mean it's going to work. I mean, I always talk about Dark Arts Theater being, I committed so much time and energy to that, and it just didn't connect. And sometimes it doesn't happen. And, you know, of the two podcasts that I'm on now, there are at least six or seven I've quit. So, you know, there is no guarantee, but I think understanding why you're doing it in the first place should be your first filter when you're considering podcasting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then related to that, you have to think about what the format's going to be, because there are, just like in books and there are tropes and conventions, in podcasting there are certain listener expectations, and I think if you go too far off the farm with some of those, people aren't going to pay any attention.
Absolutely.
So for example, there, roughly speaking, there are podcasts which are sort of NPR style, like I did for The Intronaut, which is like a monologue or an essay of some kind, a single host. There's like that type of podcast. There's a podcast like ours or Somewhere Book Show where it's segments, right? So we do the same thing every week, sort of the same thing every week, or we have different segments or different topics. But it's a format that listeners come to know and appreciate and like. Then you have the interview podcast. So like Joanna Penn, almost all the creative pen is her interviewing people. That's sort of a format. So you kind of have these different styles of podcasting. And I think it's important that once you know why you're doing it, that you pick one of those, because I think if you go back and forth between them, it can be disorienting and listeners don't know what to expect. And I think that's where you get into problems.
I know for me that I really like more structured podcasts with a format, and I get annoyed when podcasts deviate from it that I've listened to for a long time, you know.
Yes.
Like it's, I give my buddies over at Nintendo Dad's crap sometimes, because they're always like every few weeks they're like, oh, like they have segments, but they have like news, and then they have like what we've been playing, and sometimes they'll like switch them around, and then they do like community spotlight where they answer email stuff, and I'm like, dude, no, like do the news, talk about what you've been playing, and then do the community spotlight. Don't switch it up. I don't want to know what you've been playing before I hear the news.
Right.
You know,
right.
And everyone in the community gives them crap about it. So yeah, like, it doesn't mean you can't change anything like we did, you know, like we got rid of our new segment and replaced it with our Ways and Hacks. There was intention for that, and there was a reason. But yeah, like for the most part, like you should find a really good format and try to stick with it and be consistent. Yeah.
And we have had a very small number of guests on this podcast, but it's a rarity. It's not, you know, it's not, we're not mixing up the format. So, you know, it's not a hard and fast rule, but you really have to stick to your bread and butter once you've identified
it. And really, we've only done it like when I've been out of town and
yeah.
you host anyway. I don't think we've both been on with anybody on here before.
Right. So, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
So not to say that won't happen at some point. Mm-hmm. But it hasn't. Like, we've kind of stuck to our format a little bit. So.
Yes, yes. It also, and then, like, it also, the format and your reason will also help you determine the length and frequency of the length of the podcast and the frequency of the publication. So, like, a good example would be, like, Tim Ferriss's podcast is one of my favorites. But I know going in that those interviews go an hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. It's a long form podcast.
That's after 45 minutes of ads.
Yeah. Yeah, he does have a lot of ads in there.
He's making bank. He's
yeah, whatever. Yeah. But like,
podcast is amazing.
But I know that. Like, I know going in, that's what I'm gonna get. That's what I expect. If you're doing, you know, 20-minute, 30-minute, 20-minute, 30-minute, 35-minute, and all of a sudden you got a 2-hour episode, like, that's gonna throw people. And they may or may not like that, and there might be a reason for that. But I think you kind of have to determine whether you're doing a short form versus long form, and what that's going to be, and have a generalized target. I mean, I think we like to shoot for 30 to 45 minutes roughly. It doesn't mean we can't go a little shorter or a little longer, but like, that's our goal. We wouldn't do 90 minutes, for example. That wouldn't be fair. And then you also have to think about your publication schedule. I think the general rule of thumb now is weekly episodes are what most listeners expect. There are podcasts that will do seasons, so they'll do weekly for months at a time and then take a break, like a television show. That's generally acceptable. What's that?
There's daily podcasts.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. So like, there are monthly podcasts. I think those are a little harder to sustain an audience.
Yeah,
I think it's
so
too long. And I sometimes think daily is too much. There are podcasts who will have episodes out daily, but that's quite a commitment on the listener's part to tune in every single day.
The
even
only
if it's
ones
just
I
a
like
minutes.
In that case, and I can't think of any, like, there were some I used to listen to, but if it's one of the, if it's like a 5 or 10 minute thing,
yeah.
Like the quick and dirty tips, people do that a lot, yes. like, you know, yes. and stuff. But, other than that, yeah, like, yeah, I don't,
it's a bit much. So yeah. something to keep in mind. And then if we get into some of the technical stuff, like, you know, really you could do a podcast with a phone, but I really believe that listener expectations are at a point now where you got to have some semi-pro production value to your
just
podcast.
Just like you need a pro cover on your book and you need yeah. pro editing, you need to have some pretty good audio quality, which right. is not that hard or expensive to get.
No, it's not. You might have to do a few tutorials or read a book or do a little bit of experimentation with a software program, but that's what you got to do. Like, you know, I think that's what you do if you're pro. So I wanted to hit on a few of the gear things. So like, as far as microphones go, generally speaking, the built-in mic on a laptop and the built-in mic on your earbuds are generally not good ideas. They'll work in a pinch, but you and I both have dedicated mics. You use the Yeti, right?
Yeah, mine is probably even simpler than what you have.
Yeah.
Because you're running an interface through your computer. But
correct.
Yeah, I use the Blue Yeti, and it's $129 on Amazon. I think you can, and I'll put a link in the show notes. I think you can even find it on sale for like $80 sometimes. But it's like it's built on a stand, so you can just set it on your desk. And it's just USB. Like, you just plug yeah. it in your USB drive, and it's going to pick it up, and you're good to go.
Yeah, and if you're really on a budget, it's not as good, but you can get by with a Snowball, which
Snowball.
Is like $40 or something.
I almost said the Blue Ball. I was like, it's the Blue Snowball. I almost brought that
podcast
mic
derailed.
Yeah. So yeah, the Snowball though is not quite as good of a mic. It's good, but the yeah. Yeti is definitely a little higher quality, and you get some. There's different settings on it where you can do like one that's just going to pick up right in front of you, which is what I use for this. But then if you and I record together across the table, there's like a bi-directional that'll pick up like interview style. There's one that picks up the whole room.
Right.
Like, so there's a lot of different options. And I mean, $130, I mean, that's all. We'll get into software in a minute, but you don't have to pay for software to
right.
do your editing usually. So you, like, that's a pretty low investment to get into a podcast.
Yeah.
So.
And if you're one of the few people who are like me, who has a background in music or
yeah.
productive. Like I'm using my old SM58 that I used on stage in a band. And what's great about this microphone is that if you know the 58 is what is sort of the stage mic, de facto stage mic for rock, because it doesn't pick up anything else unless you're right up on it. So what's good about the 58 is that I don't ever pick up a lot of room noise or the garbage truck or the neighbor's Harley or that kind of thing. But it's an XLR mic. So if you have an SM58 or you're using a lav mic or something like that, then you need a USB audio interface between that mic and your computer, which is an additional cost and a little more complex. So yeah, most of you are better off going with USB mics.
You can even take that like a step further where there's some like, there's some mics that are like really good, like vocal mics and stuff you can use for studio, but then you also need an interface with like phantom power. So you can like, yeah. It can really go up, but you don't really need that. Like,
right.
Again, you guys can hear my voice is pretty clear and I'm using and Jay's using a stage mic, and it's really good.
The 58's like $99 or something. So it's not like, super expensive. So
it's like the Kleenex of live performing music mics. Like it's the standard. Everyone knows.
Right. Right. So you mentioned some software. So you don't need fancy software. Most podcasters use Audacity, Audacity, which is free. It's super simple. If you're just going to splice out the beginning and end, or if you're going to add some intro bed or something like that. I use a program called Reaper because I've been using that for years and years and years. There's a free, fully functional version as well. Reaper's really good, but you don't need much beyond that. You don't need special Adobe software or anything.
And if you are intelligent and you own Apple products, your computer will come with GarageBand.
Yeah.
So like, and that's what I always use. So yeah. GarageBand is super easy to do this with. So,
cause all you need to upload to the host, which we'll get to in a second, is you just need an MP3 file. Depending on the host, it might need to be like 128K or 320. It depends, but you just need a single MP3 file. That's it. So you don't need a lot of fancy stuff or outboard gear or anything like that.
One thing that you don't have here in our notes that we should probably bring up too is Zoom. Mm-hmm. Like for our type of thing. So for us to actually, so when we record, we're not actually record. Like he doesn't have Reaper open and is recording straight into.
Good point.
We are using Zoom, which is a meeting software. And Zoom has built-in recording, which will make us an MP3 file. It also will do video. And then we can take that MP3 or WAV file or MP4 or whatever it is and put it. He puts it into Reaper where he's got like a template with our intro and stuff in it.
Which you might not even need. You could just record in Zoom and upload that MP3 file.
That's what you
file.
Guys do for the writer's wheel. Y'all don't have any music or anything.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Right.
But mm-hmm. You can also do this with Skype, but with Skype, you need some kind of third-party recording software.
Yes, it doesn't record natively, so you would need a third-party recorder.
Which you can get those. It's not that bad. So, So if you're recording like we are, where it's two people talking and we're in different states, we're not in the same room, then yeah. But if it's just you or you have someone in person, then yeah, you could just use Reaper or Audacity or GarageBand or whatever.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah. And then, this could be a whole technical tutorial. It's not, but basically to get your podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud and distributed to all the places where people listen to podcasts, you need what's called a podcast host. And there are various services. There's a bunch out there ranging everywhere from a few dollars a month to $50 a month, depending on what you need. I'm going to mention three. I'm going to mention these three just because these are ones I've personally used. Libsyn is the biggest and the oldest. They're the host for this particular podcast. And definitely like $5 a month, I think, is their low-end product. So that's worth taking a look at. Some new players to the game. We got Pippa. Pippa is where the Writer's Well is hosted. Again, I think they have packages starting at $5 or $10 a month. And then the Gen X Rock and Talk radio show/podcast is hosted on Transistor FM, which is a brand new company started by my boy Justin Jackson up in Vancouver. Mm. And they're making a big play into that. And they're building in a lot of monetizing. That's sort of their angle. So if you're interested in eventually having some ad roles or some sponsors, you might want to take a look at Transistor FM. So those are just the three that I know personally that I wanted to mention.
Absolutely. Cool.
And then the last thing we touched a little bit upon it just a moment ago was monetization. Going back to your why, I think if your why is I want to make money podcasting, that's the wrong why. This is probably one of the most difficult digital mediums to make money from. It's really, really hard. Part of that is because the nature of podcasting is that they're free. There aren't many podcasts that are paid for podcasts that I'm aware of. And if there are, they're definitely outliers. Most listeners will expect podcasts to be free. And just like on YouTube, unless you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of listens, unique listens per episode, you're probably not going to draw a lot of sponsorship opportunities. You're not going to make a lot of money off of ad rolls or things like that. Although, you know, you could try, but you just, the scale of the numbers have to be such that it's beyond where most podcasts are. I think Libsyn had some stat that like the number of podcasts who could make money off of ad roll monetization is like 0.5%, like based on the statistics. So,
yeah.
Now the other option is Patreon, and Patreon is sort of a wild card right now, especially for podcasting. We're having some moderate success with it. I know we're doing better than some and not as good as others, but basically what Patreon allows you to do is have people who listen to your podcast on a regular basis contribute to the podcast, and then they usually get some type of bonuses in return. And if you've been listening to our show for a while, hopefully you know what Patreon is and how it works. And maybe you'll even consider becoming a patron. I don't know.
Patreon.com/thecareerauthor.
But there are ways to monetize the podcast. And I think it's probably a second phase of development. I think, most new podcasts last only 7 episodes because people get try it and then no one listens and they get frustrated and they quit. So I think if you're considering monetization, it's probably a longer term strategy and something that's going to come much later.
And caveat to that, like we did have Patreon coming out of the gate from the very beginning, but we were very intentional and we had a really good game plan in place for that. And we also, we've done other podcasts and, you know, we kind of had a brand name like between the two of us and some of the stuff we've done in the author community, like coming into this. So again, I think the biggest thing though, is that we had a really good game plan of Patreon out of the gate and you had a lot of experience with and learned a lot of lessons. So
yeah, because I tried Patreon for a number of other things and failed at every single one of them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, you have to try it and you have to learn what doesn't work to then know what does work.
And it is a great way to make like at least, I mean, if anything, money to at least like pay for your hosting and stuff.
Yeah.
But as Jay said, like, you know, it could be like a second phase thing once you've kind of established an audience. And, you know, the thing with podcasts and we learn this, the more we do events and we meet people who listen to us, it's like people come to you and they feel like they know you.
Yeah.
So people like walk up to us and when we're out places and they're just like, oh yeah, like, and you've never met this person or talked to them. And it's just like, but they know you, you know, yeah. 'Cause you're in their earbuds or in their car stereo every week. And, but like, you know, once it gets to that point, like people, a lot of people are willing to like support you and stuff. So.
Yep. Yep. And I think that's coming full circle. That's a good takeaway. Like if you want to do this to make connections with people, to engage people, to be part of a community, and to be known for that, like I think podcasting is a great way because people are putting you in their ear every week and they get to know you and they get to trust you. And I think that really makes a difference.
Absolutely. So there you go. Podcasting 101. So, good stuff, Jay. Good plan on this episode.
Hey, thanks, man. I know it was a cursory overview, but hopefully it gave people who were thinking about it some things to consider.
Right on. So with that, we just want to remind everybody just one more time, check out patreon.com/thecareerauthor. Consider supporting us over there. If you don't, that's totally cool. Like you said, the show's going to be free every week regardless, but we've got some cool bonus material in our Slack chat. I had to shut it off before I got in here because I know it's just going to be pinging.
Lots of talk about hair dye.
Yeah, they want. Yeah, everyone there wants to like do stuff to my beard. I'm like, let's get a get together and all you people can braid it and color it. I don't care, whatever. but check out patreon.com/thecareerauthor. And this is probably one of the last weeks we'll mention this, but we've got probably one more slot open for Authors on a Train if anyone's interested, but it's coming up really quick. Like November 11th or something, right? Is when
we're and it would take some juggling, so it's really got to be the right person for us to consider it. But yeah, if you're interested, like,
yeah, if you're kicking, I mean, if you're kicking tires on it and you're just curious, like, go to authorsonatrain.com and just contact us and let's chat. And we can see. But yeah, and then, you know, just a reminder too, if you guys are, guys and gals are enjoying what you're hearing on here and you're getting a lot out of this show, tell your friends about it. Go into your author groups on Facebook, you know, your writers groups, whatever, and let them know about the Career Author. We would really, really, really appreciate it. And also, if you want to jump over to iTunes and leave us a review, we like never ask for that. I haven't even looked at, I don't know if there's any on there, if we're getting trashed or whatever, but there could be like a bunch of one stars. I don't know. But jump over there and leave us a review. We definitely appreciate that. So, well, cool. So with that, Jay, thank you. That was an awesome episode.
Cool.
And, we will see you guys next week.
Later.